Just want you to know that what's happening here is not unique to us. The events that are taking place in these times are happening all across this land. And so it's nothing unique. It's nothing we can point to ourselves as taking the blame for it. I mean, this is happening all over the country, and I hear about it. And so it's just a fact of life that times come that people are not going to endure sound doctrine, and they're going to choose to go elsewhere. And just because they might go elsewhere does not mean we have to stop preaching sound doctrine. So let's keep those things in mind. Now, for our lesson tonight, we're going to talk about the Christian and temptations. And who has never had a temptation? None of us. We've all had temptations. We fight temptations, and sometimes we fight them on a regular daily basis. And sometimes there's some things that don't tempt us anymore that used to tempt us, and there's some things that we just have no interest in. But we have to be very careful, because if the devil can't attract us with one temptation, he's going to try and use a different temptation to attract us and get us away from God. So, Matthew 6:13, in his prayer, Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation." And we have the assurance that God does not do that. We'll read there from James 1 in just a minute. God doesn't tempt any man to sin. He does test us every now and then. And then in Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray to avoid temptation." In other words, Jesus is coming back, and he said, this is going to happen. But you, first of all, you watch, and then you pray. Because the prayer is going to keep you connected with God and is going to keep you from temptation. Now, James chapter 1, beginning verse 12, said, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." See, living the life of a Christian is not a bed of ease or life of idleness. And that's something which I think so many people get used to. They get on their comfort chair, they get in their comfort zone, and they don't want to push any envelopes, they don't want to push any buttons or anything, and they just want to go along to get along, and hopefully that they'll be left alone. And I suppose we could say, hopefully the preacher won't step on their toes. But still, I mean, it happens. See, the life of a Christian requires toil and labor. Jesus said, work. Work for the master. Work with these things. And so we do have to work at it. It's not just something that, well, yeah, we have to work at it. And it will always be a constant fight with temptation. Okay. See, the Christian's greatest danger is succumbing to temptation. And we sing that song, "Yield Not to Temptation." It's a good song. Had a lesson on it several years ago. Yield not to temptation, because when you yield to temptation, it brings forth sin. And so, yes, now some people will kind of get around this by saying, well, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help myself. Any sort of excuse they want to come up with, that's what they do. Just to basically take the onus off of them and put it somewhere else. And so that's what people are going to do. Now, what is temptation? It is the enticing or inducement to yield to the lust of the flesh. You know, that's what he says, James 1:14, to put to trial for proof. In other words, tempting. You're testing someone. You're testing to see how they're going to respond, how they're going to react. And a lot of people do that just to see what kind of a reaction they can get. Some people do some quite provocative things, just hoping to get some sort of reaction by somebody. And, you know, they do this on the football field. They do all this stuff. They do provoked action. Then when the other guy finally swings his fist, the flag goes up, the yellow flag goes up, because they did something wrong. But it's someone who's testing them. And I'm sure you all know people who you just kind of wish that maybe you should have punched them in the nose at one time. But you withheld yourself and restrained yourself, and they were testing you to see what you would do. See, after one becomes a Christian, he or she has the same desires and temptations facing him that they had before. I mean, there's nothing different. They're all still there. We're all still human. And the person does not receive a second blessing, as some may claim, to remove the temptation from him. Some people get this idea that, well, once I become a Christian, God's just going to remove all the temptation from me. Well, that's not true. And that's definitely not what he says. And so, well, we need to look at it as it is a trial or testing of one's faith and loyalty to God. That's how we need to look at it. And when we're faced with temptations, what is my relationship with God, and how am I going to respond to this temptation? So like I said, James 1:12, he covers that. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. And remember in Job, after he lost his family, after he lost his his cattle, his possessions, and then he broke out in sores. I mean, he was wondering, what is wrong here? And he was very down. But it says in these passages, Job did not sin with his lips. His wife said, oh, just curse God and die. God has it out for you. And he would not do it. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Job would not do that. I mean, the temptation, surely the temptation was there, because everybody else was seeing his plight and saying, okay, well, that's it. You might as well hang it up. But Job wouldn't do that. And then, of course, you remember the temptations put before Christ. You know, Matthew chapter 4. You know, Christ went out, the Spirit led him out to the wilderness, and he went 40 days in the wilderness fasting. And he was hungry, and then all of a sudden Satan shows up and says, you know, you have the ability to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responded with scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so, all these things that he did. Now, the source of temptation to do evil, well, it comes, first of all, never from God. And that's something. A lot of people kind of get this idea, well, God's putting this test in front of me. No, God never does that. God does not tempt anyone to do evil. What God does is tell people, you need to straighten up and live right, is what he's telling them. But he never puts a temptation in front of them. You know, our law enforcement sometimes puts like little traps up. And they catch people breaking the law because it's called entrapment. That's what they did. But, I mean, there's a reason for the doing that. See, God tries or proves his children, but does not induce them to do evil. And we know that. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. I mean, so, yes, God does give us trials. He does give us the test, you know, even the manna that he sent forth. He says, I sent the manna to test you, to see if you will abide by it. And of course, some people didn't abide by it. They grabbed more than they needed, and of course, it was rotten the next day. And so he said it was a test. And there are several things that the Israelites went through, and God says, well, I'm testing you. And so we look at that. God does permit us to be tempted, but not beyond our capability to overcome. And we've quoted this passage many times, that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now, some people interpret that, well, God's never going to give me anything I can't handle, and that's true, but if they give in to the temptation, well, God didn't come through with his promise. I mean, that's what they do. No, he's going to permit us to be tempted, just like Job was tempted, and everybody else was tempted, but are we going to give in? Because there is a way of escape for us. That's what God says. He always gives us a way of escape. It's a matter of choosing that way of escape or just giving in. And so the source of temptation really always comes from Satan. Now I know in the passage here in James, it says, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And yeah, I mean, we have nobody to blame but ourselves, put it that way. But Satan is the one who puts these temptations in front of us. All right, Satan's avenues of sin. Very plain, very simple, 1 John 2, 15 and 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. See, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, they were tempted in these three ways. The lust of the flesh, they saw that it was good to eat. How would they know? You ever walk along and see a plant with, hey, there's some berries on there. I wonder if they're any good. You ever just grab one and put it in your mouth and start eating it? No, we know better than that. Sometimes they look really nice and, they remind me of other things, but you know what? If the bird's not going to eat them, I'm not going to eat them. I mean, that's just a little bit of common sense there. But they were looking. They said, man, that looks good. See, I don't know what looking good looks like, really. I mean, lust of the eyes, the delight to behold. And then, of course, the pride of life, and make one as wise as God. And so that's what Satan used in this area. And Christ was tempted in the same way, using the same avenues. The lust of the flesh, feed your body, turn the stones to bread. Lust of the eyes, the kingdoms of the world, they can all be yours if you bow down for me. And pride of life, just cast yourself down and I'll give it all to you. Jesus wouldn't do it. And yes, as we said, one can be tempted from within our own minds. And that's what we read there in James 1:14 and 1 John 2:15 and 16. One thing we have to be aware of, temptations are sure to come. They are going to come. No ifs, ands, or buts, it's going to be there. Why? Because if we're trying to live right, Satan is trying to get us to change our ways. We know that. And so the temptations are going to come. And by no circumstances or environment or conditions are we exempt. We're going to be there. But we, if we become strong in the faith, we know we have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And that's what we're looking for. We're not going to be given any special character or spiritual powers to overcome this. They didn't even have that in the first century. You know, you read the list in 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts. There were none of those gifts dealt with personal avoidance of temptation. There were none of those. And so it wasn't there. And Jesus was tempted right after receiving the Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Jesus received the Spirit from heaven like a dove. And they heard the voice, and he was tempted them. So even Jesus was not exempt from facing temptation, yet we also know he succeeded and did not sin at any time. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that. Even Peter said he was without sin. And so, yes, Jesus, he was tempted. And that what that goes to show, being tempted is not sinful. Some people get this idea, well, if you're tempted, you've already committed sin. No. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet he did it without sin. And so if we can overcome the temptation, then guess what? God is going to be pleased with us. And we need to know that. Now, it's hard to believe, but there are benefits of temptations. When temptations come our way, when we are strong and say, not so, Satan, I won't do it, there's going to be benefits. See, to be tempted is not to sin, but only when one yields to the temptation, to give in to the sin. And that's when they commit sin, when they actually do the act. That's what it says here in verse 15. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And so we mentioned this, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. All right. To the man who yields, it is a curse, and rightfully so. But to the man who overcomes, he is blessed. I mean, that's what he said back in James chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, consider it at all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There are benefits to facing temptation and saying, I'm not going to do it. That makes us stronger. And that's what we need to. The person who kind of wishy-washy, well, maybe this one time. I mean, they don't have a strong faith at all. But our faith is bolstered when we stand up and say no to Satan. See, one who yields is made weaker. One who overcomes is made stronger. That's just the way it works. And it should create in us a patience. Yes, we need to have this patience sometimes. And that's what he said there in verse 2 and 3. See, it will increase our desire to go to heaven, where we will be free from all temptations. Yeah, we're going to be free of temptation someday, but not until we leave this place. This world has all these temptations available, and the world wants us to join it. But God says, don't do it. And so Philippians 1, Paul talked about to live as Christ and die as gain. It'd be just great for me just to go and be with my Lord right now. But as long as I'm here, I have work for the master I need to do. And really, that statement applies to every one of us. We all have work for the master that we need to do. Yes, it seems a little bit difficult. There seems like nobody anymore wants to hear about God. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They certainly don't want to hear about anything that would make them have to change their ways. They don't like hearing that. But you know what? There are souls out there, they need it. And they're out there somewhere. And who knows? We may be put in such a condition, in such a situation, that we happen to be that light that someone is looking for. We just don't know. Like Esther, Queen Esther, you may have attained this royalty for such a moment as this. And so, the person who survives and overcomes temptation, he shall be crowned with the crown of life. And it's interesting when you look at the crown of life and the few times it is mentioned, what is necessary? Be faithful until death and you'll receive the crown of life. Paul said, I've fought the faith, I've kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which not only for me but all who love his appearing. And this here in James, he says the crown of life is for those who love him. What are the qualities of those who love Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, we're demonstrating our love to him. And so that's where our crown is going to come from. Now, let's talk about the main point of this lesson. How do we overcome temptations? I mean, they're there. And in such subtle different ways, sometimes we don't even realize they're temptations. But just thinking thinking about some people can just get your blood boiling. Or thinking about what some people did, maybe not to you, but maybe to somebody else that you care about. I mean, you got to overcome these temptations. And you cannot let them fester. You cannot let them grow and build. You just got to basically let it go. We're told that on numerous occasions. Just let it go. And we know God's people can overcome any temptation. It's possible because God said it was possible. And if we believe God, we know that no matter the temptation, God has provided a way of escape for us. So we don't have to sin. If we turn around and sin, it's because we made the choice to sin. But we don't have to sin. Now, what is the way of escape? Well, basically, I just said that. Sometimes the way of escape is through preparation. You know, like the psalmist said, "Thy word have I planted in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And Jesus overcame because he filled his heart with the word. And how did he respond? Every time Satan said something, Jesus came back with scripture, quoted scripture. And also by way of prayer and watchfulness, as Jesus said, Matthew 26:41. And by way of strong purpose, as we purpose in our hearts. You know, Daniel purposed not to eat the king's food, which is probably had a lot of booze in it or something like that. Daniel wasn't going to do that. And so he had the favor of the captain there and said, "Here, just put us to the test. Test us for a week and see how we fare." And they were better than all the others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "Therefore I buffet my body daily, so that in case something comes up, nobody will have the right to accuse me." So we have to keep our bodies under control at all times. I mean, you can try and do that, but all it takes is just one time losing your temper. Just letting loose with all the anger and stuff like that. Coming out with some words that will destroy the trust that you have tried to build up. It doesn't take much, so it needs a strong purpose. Just like the purpose of Ezra. He purposed in his heart to learn the law of the Lord so that he could do it and that he could teach the statutes of God in Israel. Man with his heart set is hard to move. I heard it described this way. A lot of people are like concrete. They're set and they're hard to move. And some people are that way. All right, sometimes to avoid temptation might be the way of flight. In other words, get away from there. Run away. You remember that's what Joseph did. "I'm not going to sin against God." She lunged at him and grabbed his clothes and wanted to yank him off. He just left him there. And so, yeah, sometimes we have the way of flight. God provides that way of escape for us. And so we need to take that. And so we need to be aware of that. And sometimes we may have to stand up and fight. Ephesians 6:10-18, talking about the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Sometimes we need to do that. If we can't run away and get out of the way, we've got to take a stand and fight against Satan. And we need to do that. So we always have to be ready for that fight. Ready to take fight if necessary. And Satan does not like fighting. You realize that? Satan does not like fighting. You know, even the resistance. He said, "Resist the devil, he will flee from you." No, Satan doesn't like fighting. He likes to do a lot of horrible things, but fighting is not one of those. See, we can do so by avoiding bad company, kind of like we talked about this morning. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And then not spending time in the place where sinners are. Psalm 1:1-2. And so, by attending all the assemblies of the church. Here's where we get our strength. I mean, yes, some of us, we do our daily Bible reading, we do our studies, and we get strength. Sometimes we get strength from other sources and other brethren trying to do their part to encourage people, and we get strength there. But more than anything, we should be getting strength from the people in these pews. And we don't need the negativity. Where have we heard that before? See, such is needed to strengthen us. And we really do. And neglecting worship services is the first step towards apostasy. You turn your back on God, even though God gave you a command. See, it's a long, tempting step from Sunday morning to Sunday morning, leaving off Sunday evening and Wednesdays. I mean, those of us who come on Sunday evening and Wednesdays, we get that shot in the arm. I mean, it lifts us up and it helps us get through the rest of this week. And I feel sorry for those who just choose Sunday morning only. I mean, they're not strengthening themselves in any way that is noticeable. It is said that 7 days between worship periods makes 1 week. And notice the spelling of that. See, keep busy for the Lord. And we know that idleness is the devil's workshop. And that's very true. With regard to overcoming temptation, finding the way of escape provided by the Lord. Yeah, he has provided a way. We just need to find that way because it's there. And sometimes he's actually pointing to it. Here's the way of escape. He points us to it and tells us, go this way. Sometimes he uses neon lights and says, here, follow. See, there's a little green light up there that says exit. Yeah. Sometimes that's what we need to do. And it's all a matter of want to. We must look for the escape that the Lord has provided. So the question is, are you a victim of temptation? Don't answer that, because I know you are. We all are. We're all a victim of temptation. And have you succumbed or yielded to such? Don't answer that either, because I know the answer. You and I, yeah, we gave in. We did that from time to time. We feel bad about it, and we repented of that, but we did. See, the Lord has made provision for those who fall. And we can be so thankful for His grace. And to you that have fallen, get up, repent, confess, and pray. I mean, that's so easy. When you think about it, it is such an easy thing to overcome this. Say, God, I have sinned. Please forgive me. And that very moment, that very second, that very microsecond, your slate is cleaned. Just like that. Doesn't matter what you did. It is cleaned. If you will do this. Those people are still in the grasp of Satan. They've got a lot to do. Yes, you need to hear God's word and believe it and repent of the sins, confess with your mouth and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then after that, live soberly, righteously, and godly the rest of your life, and heaven will be your home. And Paul tells us that children of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who strengthens me. We can do it. It's within our ability to overcome temptation. God gave me that ability. He gave you that ability. We just need to use it whenever temptation comes our way. So think about this lesson. I mean, it's a simple lesson, and hopefully it was explained in a very simple way. But that's it. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need, respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.